January 2015 will mark the 22nd anniversary of Woodland Oaks Church of Christ. Began January the 5th, 1993, with 78 persons. Today we average approximately 540 in our Sunday morning attendance. We have a membership of something over 700. The Lord has blessed us beyond everyone's expectations. The first 8 years of our history, the church had no full-time minister. And some say you were better off during those days. That translates all of those things. Translate to an extremely high level of membership involvement. And we want to protect that. Because our leadership and membership is a heart for mission work, we've developed and maintained an unusually high level of commitment for sharing the gospel around the world. As a congregation and as individuals, we are significantly involved in mission works in India, preacher training works in Benin and Uganda, Africa, as well as Central and South America. We've been instrumental in beginning and are supporting orphanages and their affiliated churches in Peru and in Cambodia, as well as supporting 5 children's homes here in the States. We have members who serve in the Pregnancy Crisis Center, Juvenile Detention Center, local nursing home. We financially support Mission Printing in Arlington that sends mission printing goods in South and Central America, the AIM program in Lubbock, Bear Valley Bible Institute Extension School in Denver. Besides the collective support from this church, we have a large number of individual members who are deeply committed personally and financially to many additional works in this community and around the world. And I want to say this morning that I'm proud to be part of a church family that has such a heart for people of the world, those who are poor and lost around the world. And I've not mentioned the many dedicated brothers and sisters who teach Bible class, who organize Bible classes and recruit teachers, who write and call visitors each week, who organize and participate in ministries to assist the sick and bereaved by cooking and visiting and sending cards of support and letters of encouragement, those involved in tape ministry, the singing ministry, sound booth personnel, youth ministry, children's Bible hour, men who volunteer to preach and lead singing and present devotionals, those who organize fellowship events for all ages, men and women who set up and take down chairs every week for various activities, folks who take care of our facilities, those who are so faithful to get here early and meet and greet those, all of us at the door. Those who prepare weekly congregational meals and clean up afterwards. Those who organize fellowships, work on websites, keep our books, pay our bills, organize blood drives, holiday gifts to orphans, shut-ins. Those who organize sending birthing kits for pregnant women in Africa. Men who serve every week in the public assembly and those who coordinate that service, those who work in men and women's special ministries, those who organize and help with family camp and other retreats, and for all the others who are involved, and I know that there are many others, I apologize for not mentioning you this morning. If you're not involved in a ministry here in this congregation, then it's not because of lack of opportunity. And the congregation said, on top of all this, the Lord's blessed us to be almost ready to move into a beautiful new facility, with our only indebtedness being a portion of that new facility. In those 22 years, actually about 19 of those 22 years, you have purchased and paid for this piece of land, this facility that we're in, the education building, free and clear, as well as a sizable chunk of that new building by the time that we move into it. And all the while, our mission budget has increased every single year. We have true to the goal set by our leaders at the very beginning of this, not taking one single penny away from mission work. And not only have we not taken any away from it, our budget for 2014 is $202,000 for foreign missions. That's an increase of $20,000 over 2013. And that's only a portion of the mission dollars that go out from this congregation. When we're all actively involved in life and service as God wants us to be, you know what that does? Titus chapter 2 talks about the older women, the younger women, the older men, the younger men, and then servants. And when we're all doing and serving in the role as God wants us to, Titus says there's three things that will result from that. In verse 5 of Titus 2, he says, no one will malign the word of God. And then in verse 8, he says, those who oppose you will be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And then thirdly, verse 10, the teaching of God our Savior will be made attractive in every way. And so as a congregation, I want to commend you for your works of faith and your labors of love. I believe we're doing a tremendous job of preparing people to be willing to hear and to be receptive to the gospel. And now, we need to learn to pull the trigger better, don't we? That was included in our prayer this morning, and I really appreciate that. I recently read a statistic that said that fewer than 5% of all congregations will grow after they reach the age of 25 years. That's three more years for us. Fewer than 5% will continue to grow. I don't know how accurate that is, but time will tell, for us as a congregation at least. But for the record, or let the record show, it's not my goal to grow a church. It is my goal to share the gospel and to grow our, mine and yours, faith. That's my goal, to share the gospel and to grow our faith. I'm perfectly content to let the Lord grow the church because I believe that's His business and that's His job. We recognize, we have recognized for some times, and we are now trying to respond and act in a practical way, recognizing the need that we have to become more effective in reaching out to the lost of our area with the gospel. Yesterday was a landmark day for this congregation because a new ladies' ministry was begun, and there were about 60 ladies who will be involved in leading that ministry who were here yesterday. And what that is, in practical terms, is an effort to try to fulfill what Titus said that older women are to be providing for younger women in the church. And when we begin to practically put into practice and develop ministries that will fulfill what we all want to do in our lives, then the church prospers and benefits. And so, it is with all of our blessings that the ladies' ministry of Heart to Home was kicked off yesterday. I might add in really fine fashion because this auditorium was lined up yesterday with tables all the way across, and it was had a few over 60 ladies who were here yesterday to kick that program off. And so, that's a practical effort to do what the Lord commands older ladies to provide for younger ladies. And I hope that every one of you ladies will be involved. And now we have another practical effort, ministry, that we want to kick off this morning. I want to share with you a way that you can pull the trigger, or a method of evangelism. And I guess I want to put out some disclaimers up front. I'm bad about that. And I want to say that this way that we're going to talk about this morning is not the only way. And in some instances, it may not even be the best way. That's going to have to be your decision. I'm not interested in making you feel guilty. I'm interested in encouraging you by trying to make it possible for you to get your feet wet as easily as possible and accomplish something that's been on your heart for a long, long time. Let me ask you a question. Is there anyone here who does not have someone, a friend or a relative, about whom you're spiritually concerned? Or let me phrase it another way. Do you have someone whom you love that you would like to see obey the gospel? Raise your hand if you do. Me too. What are you doing about it? How's that working for you? What are we waiting for? The right time? It's not going to happen. And we all, many of us at least, have loved ones who have died without being a Christian. And we don't want that to happen to anybody else in our family or any of our loved ones. Several months ago, I was introduced by one of our members to a book written by a brother in Illinois that impressed him. And he brought me a book. And by the way, I have lots of books on my desk that people bring me and say, I want you to read this and tell me what you think about it. And sometimes I don't get around to it very quickly. But he was so impressed with this book. And when I picked it up and started reading it, it was an easy read. And so it had a strange title. The title of it was Muscle and a Shovel. And I read it, and I liked it. Frankly, I liked it enough that I contacted the author, whom I had no clue who he was. But I contacted him with a few observations that I had because I felt like there was such a great potential in this book that I personally felt that there were a few things that he could tweak about it that would make it more effective. And so I somewhat presumptively contacted him with my suggestions with no idea how he would respond. I mean, how would you respond if some guy called you after you had put the kind of energy and effort into it to write a book, and some guy that you never heard of called you and he, you know, presumptively decided to give you some suggestions about how you could improve this work? And I'll say I was very impressed with how extremely gracious and receptive he was. Interestingly, he changed every suggestion, everything that I had suggested. If I'd known he would have, I would have made one or two more suggestions. But he changed everything that I suggested with the exception of one thing. And that one thing was that I suggested to him that he use a version other than the King James Version. And he explained why he felt that it was advantageous to retain that version for his quotes. And so it's his book. And so, that's fine with me. I grew up with the King James Version. I still love it. I just know that it is not as widely accepted in certain circles as it has been in days past. But that book, now in its seventh printing in 3 years, it's a true story about the author and his wife who, as newlyweds, moved to Nashville, Tennessee with a new job to chase the American dream. And at his new job, he meets a Christian who stimulates his interest in spiritual matters. And every day, this co-worker, as he enters in through the door where this co-worker works, challenges him to investigate his Bible in response to his increasing interest and questions until the evening comes that he and his wife decide to become Christians. And it's simply the story of that conversion process. I want to say some additional things about the book. In one of the discussions that I have had, one of the many discussions that I've had in recent months about this book, and I've had people from other places call me or I've talked to them about this book leading up to today, someone asked me, would you give this book to everyone that you study with? And my answer was no. I wouldn't. My opinion is that this book will be most effective with those who have a religious background. And we have an increasingly large number of people today who have very little religious background in our society, and specifically have had religious teaching in their life, and even more specifically, have had denominational teaching in their background. But I have to also add that if I were asked if I would use any particular method in every situation, my answer would be no. I don't know of any method that someone has developed, other than the one I've developed myself, that I would use in every situation. So, no would be my answer regarding the absolute effectiveness of any method of presenting the gospel. Because it depends on where a person is, where they start. Depends on where you need to start with them. You need to perceive where someone is and start where they are. And so if someone doesn't know if they believe there's a God or not, then you need to go a little further back than you might if they had been taught and were convicted that there was a God and Jesus Christ was his son. But in the 3 years that this book has been in print, the author claims to have evidence that over 14,000 people have become Christians in the last 3 years as a result of efforts that originated with this book. You can read many of those testimonies on his website, and he also has the newsletter. And I would recommend that you go and read some of those testimonies for yourself, because it's very, very encouraging for you to do that. And besides its potential for reaching non-Christians, let me tell you two things that I believe this book can do for you. Number one, it can solidify and reaffirm your own faith. And number two, it biblically addresses practically every objection that is commonly heard for rejecting or dismissing the gospel. That above everything else, is the thing that I was impressed about this book. That every error, I would label error, that men have come up with, every excuse that men have come up with, is nearly all of them are biblically handled in this book. And let me also tell you, there will be some people who don't like it. I've met some folks. It's blunt, to be quite honest. And some will say, it's old school. And I will say, fine with me. It's not the Bible. Okay? I'm not going to defend it like it's the Bible. It's a book written by a man. Its effectiveness, you're the one that determines that, whether or not you'll use it. But I would encourage you, if you decide you don't like it, to find a method that you do like. But whatever you do, please don't let your loved one die without making an effort to share the gospel with them. I like the way that he's doing it better than I like the way that we're not doing it. I would also add, before you jump on the bandwagon of condemning everything that you label as old school, may I remind you that between the years of 1945 and 1965, Churches of Christ were among the fastest growing religious groups in the United States. And that growth rate has declined since 1965. One of the reasons, the primary reason, is because we have become comfortable in our nice buildings that we've built since 1945. And it's really easy not to go out and talk to our neighbors about the Lord. The leadership of this church is asking you to do two things this morning. Asking you, number one, that someone in each family take one complimentary copy of Muscle and a Shovel on the table in the back and read it. And secondly, that you prayerfully consider giving it to, after you've read it, giving it to a non-Christian friend. That's the two things that you're being asked to consider doing this morning. And if you're a visitor with us today, then please accept a copy as our gift to you. Additionally, if you have interest in learning how to effectively share the gospel with others, and by the way, when you give that book to someone, I'm going to say to you, you probably need to be prepared to make either one of the best friends that you'll ever have in your life, or you might make an enemy. Just being honest with you. But what it will likely do is stimulate that person that you give this book to come to you and have some questions. And it will give you the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And so if you have an interest in learning how to more effectively share the gospel with others, there will be an evangelism class beginning December the 7th that will meet in our, well, I don't know where it's going to meet yet, depending on what size it is, I guess. And you are encouraged to attend, if you would, if that is something that interests you. I want to commend you for making this church a church that makes the gospel attractive. I believe you do. I believe that the Lord has enabled us to be a part of a family where people like to be. Where when we leave this assembly on Sundays and Wednesdays, whenever we're here, that that people are encouraged. And I want to encourage you to continue using your talents to serve others, because that's what makes the gospel attractive. To get our hands dirty, as it were. To get into the lives of other people. You make this church a place where people enjoy using our talents to serve the Lord by serving others. A New Testament-shaped church that focuses on the Bible. And we keep coming back to what does the Bible say. We've been talking about our concern for others becoming Christians. But maybe you're the one that needs to make that decision this morning. You cannot be effective in bringing someone to the Lord and showing them how to become a Christian if you're not one yourself. And so I'm asking you, as Ananias asked Saul of Tarsus, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You have that opportunity while we stand and sing. Won't you come?